for the text of our message, let us turn to Matthew 15. Reading from verse 21 to 28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, the woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, same border, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet, not proper, to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it done unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole that very hour. And now we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 4 to 6, by way of introduction. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, before he was taken up to heaven, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And now for all of us, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We have Abel and Enoch. Because of their faith, they please God. And so it is exhorted to us by the author to the Hebrews that without faith it is impossible to please God, and he that cometh to God must believe that he is. We are puny men, but God is great, almighty, and also he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This introduction tells us that there are heroes of faith in the Old Testament as listed throughout the 11th chapter of Hebrews, right from Abel to David, and to all those whom we can identify by the description of their deeds. So in the New Testament, we are not lacking in heroes of faith either. And so that leads us now to the woman, the Canaanite woman, who comes to seek help from the Lord. For her daughter is possessed by a devil. Although she called on the Lord, he did not reply. And the disciples also came and say, better tell her to go away. But the more They did not care about her, the more she pleaded, which is an example to us. Sometimes God is testing us. He won't answer a prayer. And so you give up. You don't pray. Sometimes I'm like that too. Having suffered long months under the slip days. And I thank you all for praying for me. And sometimes I forget to pray. And that is not a good thing. He wouldn't answer to test her whether she was sincere and she was diligent in seeking God. And so finally Jesus answered that he is only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she was a Gentile. Yet she pleaded, never, don't say that, Lord. And then he said, it is not meet, not proper for me to cast a bread that is for children to the dogs. And she has a beautiful answer. Yet, Lord, the dogs can eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. At that, Jesus Christ was so happy for her faith. Great is thy faith, O woman. Be it done to you according as you want. And the daughter was healed at the very hour. Such an example of faith is reenacted in the case of the centurion who came to see the Lord. Because of a servant who is sick of the palsy, who is paralyzed and greatly suffering. So, this is recorded in an earlier part of the Gospel of Matthew that we are studying, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8. And the Lord was very happy to go along with the centurion to heal the servant. But before anything else, the centurion proposed to the Lord, please don't come under the roof of my house. I'm not worthy. I'm a centurion and I have soldiers under me. I'll tell one to come and one to go and they will obey my orders. You just say a word and my servant will be healed. At that, Jesus was surprised. He marveled. Well, sometimes they say, he's the Son of God. Why didn't he know this? That is a mystery of the God-man. Sometimes he is in the frame of mind of the Son of Man. Sometimes it's in the frame of mind of the Son of God. So, according to his humanity, it is true that he was surprised. I have not found so great faith in Israel, he said. Therefore, they will come from east and west, many Gentiles, and they will eat at the same table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the future kingdom of heaven. But the very children of Israel will be cast out in the darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, the first shall be last, and the last first. And that is a lesson also for us. Churchgoers, yes, for long, long years. And I know of an American deacon. When I preached at the church, he came and pat me on the back. He said, young man, I have been a deacon of 40 years in this church. And I have no need to own the Bible. I know everything. Is that so? In fact, he's far, far behind. When he says he knows nothing. And so the Lord was marvel at the faith of such people like the woman of Canaan and also the centurion. Now, by way of contrast, when our Lord said, there will be few eating with Abraham and Isaac. They are Gentiles, heroes of faith from the Gentiles. But from Israel, there will be few, which is a lesson to us. Let us progress in our faith. And so he brought out, we can bring out one case, who is a pure Israelite, who is a close disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his name is Thomas. He is so famous that we call him Doubting Thomas. On the first resurrection Sunday in the evening, the 10 disciples were gathered together, Thomas being the 11th, but Judas has already committed suicide for his sin. Thomas was not present. And they told him, "We have seen the Lord." He said, "Our own belief." He has an intellectual belief. He argued with them, "Except he'll show me his nail prints and his hand, and I can put my finger to feel the nail print and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Well, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to all the disciples, the 11 now, including Thomas. Then Thomas, without any word, dropped on his knees, I believe, and worship him, "My Lord and my God." His intellectual faith was crushed. He became an earnest believer. By way of application, I would refer to you a question that faces the leadership of our church. On the matter of the Bible, we have a perfect Bible, 100% perfect. But the intellectuals will say, we study here and there and we find that there are some mistakes. And they are willing to admit that the mistakes are so few that the inerrancy of the Bible is 99.99%. But James says, if you offend the law at one point, you have broken the whole law. So the contention between the two is, one is a perfect Bible, the other is a 99.99% Bible. To criticize the Bible that there are mistakes, so it's not a perfect Bible. But Jesus has said 7 times about the Bible being the Word of God. And he that cometh to him must believe that he is, God. And we must know who is God and what is God. When they talk of God, we must fear him and tremble. The fear of the Lord is what we lack today. To talk of the things of God as it were that he can be examined under a test tube. But God, 3 times, in 3 synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, declared, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words," plural, "shall not pass away." And in Matthew 5:18, he goes on to say that not one jot or tittle not the letter of an I, Hebrew I, very small letter, and a tittle like the cross of a T, shall in no wise pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but unless, but to the jot and a tittle it will not pass away, till all be fulfilled. Before anything else, we have already said, we have already heard Jesus declare that his word is infallible, inerrant, 100% perfect. And at that, I already believe with all my heart. But without faith, it's impossible to come to him, and that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It is my duty as your pastor for the last 52 years, and one of the jobs of the pastor is to guard the faith of the flock. I would therefore declare solemnly and sincerely, I believe in the perfect Bible, that it is the very word of God, without error, infallible, that cannot fall. That's the meaning of infallible. The scriptures cannot be broken. Now we see Thomas crestfallen from his intellectual faith. Once he saw the Lord, why didn't he put his finger in the nail print and put his hand into the side that was speared? Because the reality is so great. The Lord is right there, and he can disappear any time. That is the greatness of the resurrection. But he repented. He became an earnest disciple. He now believed, like the persisting, the pleading, and the prevailing faith of the Canaanite woman. So she received the blessing of her daughter being cast out of the devil. He had now the subservient faith of the centurion. He is so kowtowed to the Lord. You just say a word, don't come to my house, I don't deserve it, and my servant will be healed. This faith Thomas has also received. That the doubting Thomas a doubter, now becomes Thomas the doughty. Doughty may be an unfamiliar word, but it means brave and strong. He's a strong one in the faith. And it would be very salutary for me to relate to you what happened to Thomas. Though the Bible doesn't record what happened to Thomas, but history and tradition is very strong on what Thomas has done for the Lord. In my younger days, I visited India many times. Out of the many times, four times, I went to preach in Kerala, the southwest coast of India. And there, immediately, I was introduced to Thomas, because everywhere I go, the people are surnamed Thomas. And also Matthai. Matthai is Matthew. Thomas and Matthew are listed together as partners in the list of the disciples of Christ. And everywhere you see a church, a Jacobite church. Out of the Jacobite church came the Matoma church. Out of the Matoma church came the St. Thomas Evangelical Church. And they told me that Thomas was, according to tradition, landed on the coast of Southwest India at Cochin, probably. And he labored in that state and founded 7 churches. And then there's a painting of Thomas on a raft with a long pole crossing the sea. And it is reputed that he might have even visited China. But anyway, when he came to Madras, on the other side of India, it was a place where he was martyred. And they point to a place near the airport by the roadside there. And today there is built in Madras a big church commemorating the martyrdom of Thomas. This church I also visited, so that the evidence is so strong. There is a very vigorous Thomas Church in South India. Another interesting point, whichever Thomas Church you go in, not the St. Thomas Evangelical Church, which is the Reformed Church, the Matoma Church and the Jacobite Church, you will see a figure of Thomas and no Mary. Thomas shrines are everywhere to collect your offerings, but no shrine to Mary, which also goes to prove that it was strongly a Thomas tradition that there is there established a church in the name of Thomas. Thomas, doubting one, now became the doughty, the strong and brave one. And how many thousands or even hundreds of thousands Thomas has brought to the Lord during all these long years of church history. This is no doubt tradition, but the tradition is so strong that you cannot deny it. Here is a message today for those who are intellectuals and you face God and you treat His book as any other book without the reverence and the fear. But it is impossible to please God without faith. And he that cometh to God, when you come to the things of God, you must believe who He is, what He is. And very wonderfully, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He is a rewarder of them who love Him. For he that loveth God will be known with all his heart, who is surrendered to him in anything that he wants you to do. Then he will also bless them who are the intellectuals who now kowtow to him with a great blessing as he blessed Thomas. I pray that those of us who take a nonchalant attitude concerning the things of God, and as if we are scientists who can examine it and show that this is wrong of him and that is wrong of him, even to the minutest particle, that there is some mistake. It's a trick of Wesley and Hort. I was brought under the tradition to receive these two as angels, but they have turned out to be enemies of Christ, who deny every fundamental doctrine of Jesus, his virgin birth, his blood atonement, his resurrection. And they were friends of Darwin, and Freud and worshippers of Mary. We have to take a very strong stand, and we must love the Lord our God with all our heart, for we must believe that He is God, and who is He and what He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Rewarder of the Canaanite woman who, though being rejected right through, clung to the Lord, and having tested her, the Lord bless her. The centurion, without any testing, already admitted, "You are God. You say a word." Those who say the Bible is perfect 100% glorify Him. Those who criticize Him glorify themselves. And God will say, "Let God be true. You puny man, you do not know anything. And every man a liar." Let us pray. Loving Father, how glad we are today to learn a lesson of faith from the woman of Canaan especially. Help us when we come to Thee to fear Thee with holy reverence and give Thee all the glory. In Jesus' name, Amen.